Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka, where it's 46 degrees and overcast. Today's Wednesday, October 3rd, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. Mim McConnell will be the next mayor of Sitka based on preliminary results from yesterday's municipal election. McConnell brought in more than 46% of the vote in a three-way race for mayor. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more on that race and how voters decided in the contests for assembly and school board.
Mim McConnell says she's ready to jump in.
Oh, I have so many ideas. I'm excited about the future, and I'm ready to go to work and looking for people to work with me.
McConnell brought in 965 votes for mayor on Tuesday night. Incumbent Mayor Cheryl Westover placed second with 688 votes, or about a third of the ballots cast. Assemblymember Tor Christensen had 411 votes. That's nearly 20% of the ballots. For Assembly, voters have chosen Matt Hunter, Phyllis Hackett, and Michelle Putz. Hunter brought in the most votes of any candidate anywhere on the ballot Tuesday night. More than 1,700 people voted for the 30-year-old political newcomer.
That's a lot of people, and I don't know that I know that many people in Sitka. So this is really exciting, and I look forward to representing the people.
Hackett, the Assembly incumbent, came in second with 1,274 votes.
I'm really really shocked that I now am the one with the most seniority, and I've only been there 4 years.
Hackett will have the most continuous seniority on the Assembly, but Mike Reif and Tor Christensen both served terms previous to the elections that have them presently in office. Hackett says she's looking forward to another 3 years.
We have a lot of issues to tackle. I'm really looking forward to some young blood on there to bring in that perspective, and I think it's going to be great.
Michelle Putz is in third place with 897 votes for Assembly. That puts her 85 votes ahead of fourth place finisher Aaron Swanson.
You know, I wasn't expecting to get as many votes as I did, which is surprising, but I'm looking forward to the absentees and see where it goes from there.
Nearly 400 absentee and question ballots are due to be counted on Friday. Putz also said she's looking forward to Friday's count, but that she felt pretty good about the unofficial results and the campaign that got them.
People were wonderful to work with. I appreciated hearing from everybody I talked to, and I appreciate looking into, you know, what other people are thinking here in the future.
Dallas Peavy rounded out the Assembly race, coming in fifth with 700 votes. Sitka's school board race was not competitive this year. There were two open seats, and incumbent Cass Pook will return to one of them. The other will most likely be filled by Jennifer Robinson, the only registered write-in candidate. But because of the way Sitka counts its votes, only the number of write-in ballots is known. Exactly how many went for Robinson is unclear. For Raven News, I'm Ed Ronco.
You can see all the unofficial election results on our website, kcaw.org. Sitka School Board member Tom Conley stepped down last night after 13 years of service. That is an unusually long tenure for a school board member, and one that Superintendent Steve Bradshaw says has served the district well.
Having board members that have been on a long period of time helps not only me get answers from them, but helps the community feel very comfortable in going to see a board member.
Conley spent much of his time on the board as one of the district's strongest voices in Juneau. Bradshaw says Conley's frequent trips to the capital city involved hours of lobbying before state lawmakers, often about the finer points of complex education policy. But Bradshaw says Conley also has kept administrators on their toes, asking hard questions about district policy. He credits Conley with keeping student-teacher ratios pretty low in Sitka.
Tom has been a strong advocate of that over the years. I think that every case, student situation that reaches the board level, whether it's coming from me or coming from one of the principals or coming from a teacher, we better have our ducks in a row because Tom is there to protect the child.
Conley's seat on the school board was won last night by a write-in candidate. Jennifer Robinson was the only declared write-in, but the ballots have yet to be counted. Police yesterday arrested a Petersburg man whose alleged threats prompted an hour-long lockdown of the election polls, the school campuses, and the hospital. Authorities did not think the suspect was targeting anyone in particular, but they initiated the lockdown as a precaution. Matt Lichtenstein reports.
Petersburg Police Chief Jim Agner says officers arrested 22-year-old Levi O'Connor around 10 a.m. in front of Petersburg Medical Center. According to Agner, the officers found a couple of pocket knives on the suspect. Agner says the call that prompted the situation initially came into police shortly after 8:30 in the morning.
It involved somebody that had committed a crime of domestic violence and had said that they were going to go out and kill some people, and they had weapons, and there was a concern they had firearms as well as other weapons, and so they were often wandering the streets.
Agner says he called in several officers who were off duty, and most of the department went out to look for O'Connor. He says the alleged threats did not specifically target the schools or anyone in particular, but police informed the school district as a precaution.
The person we were concerned about could have hurt anybody, and the schools are the single biggest conglomerate of people in town at any given time. And so what we did was, as part of our protocols, we called the school district and informed them of the potential danger.
I said, well, we are putting the school on lockdown. You let me know when it's safe. And so within 10 seconds of the call from the chief, we were locking down.
District Superintendent Rob Thomason had the school's alarm sound, and he went outside to check on the exterior of the buildings as the lockdown got underway. That included locking interior and exterior doors and keeping the students in the classrooms.
Our goal there is to have it be a heightened level of concern, but not to the level of panic. And the staff, the teachers, once we got organized, they just continued teaching, because if we can demonstrate calmness and confidence, that imparts that to the children, and they will keep going. So the key is, no matter how much we as adults are feeling inside our stomach, they just kept right on teaching, and it was outstanding. I cannot say enough in favor of and positive about every staff member that participated in this.
Local officials also decided to lock down the hospital as well as the aquatic center. Municipal elections were underway in the aquatic center lobby at the time. In election, Judge Naomi Weldy says things went smoothly.
Everybody that was in here voting just stayed right in here. And when people come to the door, they had a sign out there telling what was happening.
The lockdowns ended and voting resumed just after 10 in the morning when O'Connor was arrested. According to Chief Agner, he's being charged with felony assault in the third degree in connection with the alleged domestic violence incident that prompted the original call to police. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
The Alaska Native Brotherhood is celebrating its 100th birthday. The Southeast-based organization and its partner group, the Alaska Native Sisterhood, have been at the forefront of Alaska's civil rights movement since they formed. A number of programs this year have highlighted its history, but the main event comes this week in Sitka at the organization's annual Grand Camp Convention. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Jerry Hope is president of the Alaska Native Brotherhood's first camp, or chapter, which is in Sitka. He grew up in a family deeply involved in the Brotherhood and Sisterhood. One of his early memories is walking into his grandparents' house when he was 5 or 6. Andrew and Tilly Hope and others were discussing business.
They're just boiling up some fish heads. They had some potatoes they're boiling up. You could smell the sweet smell of seal oil, and you could tell that they were talking about some stuff that had some weight to it.
My earliest memories of the Alaska Native Sisterhood is playing around in the AV hall while my mom was holding a meeting.
That's Mary Brown of Klawak, president of the Sisterhood's regional organization called the Grand Camp. Her mother was Ruby Watson Smith, another leader.
I remember her going off to conventions. I remember sitting there as I grew older, listening to the sisters talking about what needed to be done, getting ready for the convention, and knew that I wanted to be a part of it.
The Brotherhood formed in 1912, the Sisterhood a while later. About 150 members are back in Sitka this week for the annual Grand Camp Convention. Some will speak about the Brotherhood and Sisterhood's early years and the reason they formed.
We didn't have voting rights. We didn't have land rights. We couldn't own land. We didn't have civil rights. And we had a very hard time getting work outside of fishing.
Klawak's Dennis Demard is the ANB's Grand Camp president.
And those were some of the problems that the ANB, our predecessors, had addressed. And they won those rights for us.
ANB leaders lobbied legislators and other officials in Juneau and Washington, D.C. They fought to include Alaska Natives in a nationwide Indian Rights Act, pass the state's anti-discrimination law, and seek a land claim settlement. Local camps also played a social role, raising funds for families in need, hosting dinners and educational programs, and building halls that became community centers. Brown says members still play a big part in many funerals.
The ANS steps forward every time and prepares food for the night watch, and usually that's two or three nights, and then we prepare a dinner for after the memorial service and a dinner after the funeral service.
The Brotherhood and Sisterhood are not what they used to be. With so many competing organizations, membership has dropped from the thousands to the hundreds, and the number of active camps has dwindled. Demert says ANB and ANS leaders want to find new ways of working for positive change. That includes involving younger people who do not remember the battles of the past.
We can't win civil rights anymore or voting rights. We've already got those. But what can we do to better the lives of Native people?
He adds that the organizations include and fight for non-Native members. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting from Sitka.
The Grand Camp convenes this morning at 9 a.m. here in Sitka. You can see photos of early camps on our website, kcaw.org. Zone weather forecast today for Sitka calls for periods of light rain diminishing in the afternoon, highs around 50. Southeast winds 10 miles per hour, increasing to 10 to 20 miles per hour this afternoon. Tomorrow, rain likely, highs around 58, southeast winds at 5. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka.